70-63, Houston, 5 seconds to play. Inbound to Gorham. Gorham's just going to hang on to it. Fittingly so. And the Cougars win.
Wow.
70-63, the final score, as the Cougars improved to 9-1 on the season and 4-1 in American Conference play.
We played a really good basketball team tonight. We came in and battled about 35 minutes. I felt like in the second half when we got up 10, we hit a cold spell where we went 0-for-12, and I think our offense affected our defense on the other end, and we didn't defend at a high level like we normally do. It's hard to win games when you give up 45 points in the second half. So I think we just didn't defend at a high level like we needed to, and they were able to, you know, go on a run, and that was pretty much the game.
Interim coach for Wichita State, Isaac Brown, talking about the loss last night. Wichita State played well for quite some time, about 35 minutes, as he said, but Houston controls the last 5 minutes. Houston wins 70-63 over Wichita State. Tyson Etienne with 25 points, Dexter Dennis 18, former KU star Quentin Grimes had 22 for Houston, lead the way as Houston wins 70-63 over the Shockers. Shockers now 6-3, 2-1 in conference play. All right, Substate Basketball, the plans released by Keisha on how we're going to handle this year, so we'll hand it over to Dusty.
Yeah, we'll look a little different. Mostly for 2A and 3A, it'll be kind of what you normally see. Seeding comes out on Wednesday, February 24th, and then the tournament will run Monday, March 1st through the Saturday, March 6th. So Substate doesn't change a lot. They will have state quarterfinals then on that next Monday and Tuesday, kind of like they did with volleyball, once those the top eight Substate teams make it.
Well, let's stop. It is a lot different because it is a lot different from basketball in the past. Because
once we that's where I was getting to that point. Because Substate for 2A and 3A is where I was at right
now.
Yeah,
right. I know. But what we want to stress is that there is no full 8-team state tournaments, just like volleyball.
Yeah, that's where I was going. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I want to make sure that we get into that because that's the meat of it.
Sure.
You said nothing has changed. It has changed.
For Substate.
Substate.
And that's where I was going with state right now.
Yeah, it is a little bit different, though. And also, it's basketball versus, you know, everybody's sitting like, well, volleyball is this way. Well, basketball was not this way last year. Basketball is the first time we've had basketball this way. It is different. Because basketball last year was regular, and then we had cancellation of COVID. It is similar, obviously, to volleyball, but it is different this year compared to last year. So I think people eventually just get everything run together because it's been so long since March of last year that we think that, well, there's no big... No, it is changes.
Yes,
it's just that we feel like it's not changes because that was so long ago, we don't even remember what a state basketball tournament actually is, which took place in 2019.
Yes.
Was the last time we completed a state basketball tournament.
Yes, and that's where the Substate format for 2A and 3 is no different than every other year. The Substate tournament, okay?
True, although...
State is where I'm going now.
Right.
Is once the 8 teams
win their
Substate.
But how they seed it's going to be different.
Because I will go through 1A and it will be different than what it usually is.
The seeding of state for 2A3 is going to be different, though.
Yes, for state, yes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's where I was going after Substate,
because
I wanted to go through Substate first.
Okay, well, let's just go by class. Let's go 2A, 3A, and then let's get back to
that's where I was going, yeah.
All right.
So 2A, 3A, again, the format for Substate is the same. You'll start Monday, you'll finish Saturday. Seedings come out the previous Wednesday for the Substate tournament. As we were going into, there will be state quarterfinals once those 8 Substate teams, Substate championships, are in, and those will be played at the higher seated sites, and you can see all you can break this whole format, you can find it all at ncksports.com. So once those 8 Substate champions are named, they will have then semifinals at higher seated sites coming up on Monday, March 8th, and then on Tuesday, March 9th. So those are the semifinals, and then those 4 winners of those quarterfinals, I should say, will make it to the semifinals of the state tournament, and then they will have those state tournaments at those normal sites. This is for 2A and 3A.
But if there is two Substates, and they both 1 seeds come out of it, then you need to add that part.
Yes.
There's another part to it.
Yes. Winner, higher seeded site of Group 1 versus Group 2.
Right.
So that is actually hard to read right now based on their determination. Because on volleyball, it was just like the...
It was just 2 goes to 1, 4 goes to 3, or whatever, right?
Yeah, and it doesn't really break that down here.
state quarterfinal games at higher seeded site. Quarterfinal state games will played at the higher seeded team of group one versus group two. But what happens if they both are one seed?
The same record, it doesn't really say.
It does not. It does
not. That's because you were saying that, and I'm like, I don't know that it actually says that.
Well, when I read it through it very quickly, I thought it did, but it doesn't.
So it's a higher seeded site, as I just read that part of it. And then, so I guess higher seeded team of group one, group two would probably be a better record if you're both one seed.
I guess, but they don't say that.
But it doesn't really
though.
Say that, does it?
No. Like in volleyball, I just said, you know, this number of sub-states going to this one. They didn't even go off of seeding.
Yeah. So that's.
They might want to clear that
up. That's another thing we'll have to clear up before March 8th and March
8th. We got time, I guess.
So, yes. But anyway, so those 2A sub-states, where everybody's at, Smith Center's our only 2A team. They'll be at the Trigo sub-state with Ellis, Hill City, Hoxie, Leota, Oakley, Plainville, and Trigo. Again, that'll be March 1st through 6th. And then Beloit will be at the Norton sub-state March 1st through 6th with Colby, Goodland, TMP, Minneapolis, Norton, Phillipsburg, and Russell. So that's 2A and 3A. Now, there is a very different 1A sub-state.
Okay? Right.
It's not even close to the same. Mm-hmm. They will have seeding coming out on the Saturday prior to this. So Saturday, February 20th is when the seeding will come out, and they will actually play quarterfinals of just the sub-state on Thursday, February 25th for the girls in 1A Division 1 and 2. And then Friday, February 26th, they will play sub-state quarterfinals with the higher-seeded team. They're Friday, February 26th for the boys. And so that's semifinals. The rest of the tournament won't be going back up until Thursday, which will be Thursday, March 4th for the girls will be the semifinals of sub-state. Friday, March 5th will be the semifinals for the boys. And then the finals are your normal Saturday, March 6th. For sub-state in Class 1A. So it will look a little bit different, as we mentioned, in 1A. After that, though, same format that we were talking about. They'll take the 8 sub-state champions, put them into the quarterfinals, and those will be at the higher-seeded team, whichever, however that'll work, on that Monday and Tuesday, March 8th and 9th for the quarters. Top four teams then move on to the actual state tournament site. Then March 13th would be the state championship by the end of all that. So they'll play Thursday, Friday, Saturday at the state championship site once they get there. So it is a lot different from that aspect of what you see in the state tournament. Now, as far as our local teams in 1A Division 1, Osborn will be hosting a sub-state February 25th, 26th, and March 4th through 6th. And that'll be with Lakeside, Thunder Ridge, and Rock Hills from the area, as well as Rawlins County and Oberlin and Stockton. Lincoln and Sylvan Lucas from our area will be going to Canton-Galva, Gospel, Little River, Rural Vista, and Solomon are competing there as well. And then in 1A Division 2, St. John's, Tipton, and Southern Cloud are at Wakefield, with St. Xavier, Natoma, Tescott, Wakefield, and Wilson. And Pike Valley will be at Axtell in 1A Division 2, with Axtell, Hanover, Lynn, Blue Valley, Randolph, and Wetmore. And like I said, I know there's a lot there, and it is a lot different as far as when you get a 1A sub-state and into the state tournament. So all that information you can find at the link at ncksports.com. If you want to read up about it, there's a lot of literature that is hard for us to all go over with all the changes that are different there once you get to the state tournament.
The other noteworthy thing that we didn't mention is there's no third-place games at state.
Yeah, no third-place at state.
There will be no third-place games. So you got four teams that go to state. You play one game, that'd be it.
Yes.
The two losers will play one game, and that's it. Go down, come back, which I guess would prevent you from having to stay at a hotel, possibly.
Yeah. And
so I guess there's pros
to that.
Mitigate
some of that part of it, for sure.
I've never fully been a big fan of the third-place games. You know that. I think you agree with me on that. I always hear the argument, well, it's another chance for our seniors to go out with a win. I say it also is another chance for you to go out with a loss and be 0-2.
Yeah.
So, or you're lose your last two. I think the third place games are great for teams that weren't expected to be there, and then they lose and somehow got to the semifinals. I don't think third place games are worth anything for teams that were favored and get knocked out and upset, because that's not their goal to get third. So I'm not a big fan. You know, the Final Four in the NCAA tournament, do they play third place?
Nope, not
you
anymore.
Wonder why they don't. It's pretty simple. It just doesn't mean very much. Just call it good. They both get third place or fourth place, whatever you want to say. They said both teams will get third place trophies and medals, and they're not going to play third place games. I wonder if that's something that's going to be something that becomes regular in the future.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying I fully am on board with that. I get why they do it. I'm not big on the third place games. At the same time, selfishly, as a radio station, having another game, more sponsorship, you know, that has actually cost us a little bit of money from that.
Yeah, I've always said the one thing I like about the third place game, just to see how they react.
Mm-hmm.
And that age of kids in that setting,
right.
It's a teaching moment, I think.
Sure.
That's the only thing I like about it.
Yeah.
have it, don't have it, doesn't really matter to me.
It does give you a chance to get the bitter taste of a horrible loss or a tough loss the day before, but it does give you a chance to have two losses to end the year on a losing streak.
And I've had, actually, fortunate enough, the local teams that have played in third-place games recently have all won those.
Right.
Like Thunder Ridge Girls, Osborne Boys, St. John's Tipton Boys, when they were favored to win state that year,
right.
came back, lost to Hartford, came back and beat Logan in the in the third-place game. So there's some merit to it, but it's not like I'm not going to, like, go on a limb to keep or get rid of it one way or the other.
No, I'm with you. I'm totally in agreement with you on that, no doubt. So anyway, all that is there. We've got it posted at ncksports.com, and you can peruse that. A couple of sports notes for you. Bradley Beal had 60 points last night, and the Wizards still lost. He's not very happy about it, so that means he cares about winning, which is great, because some players would be like, yeah, I got my 60 and didn't care if they lost. The Orlando Magic's Markelle Fultz, what a great story. He's coming back. He's playing great. You remember, he got nervous. He had the case of the yips shooting the ball, and then he's figured it out. He's playing well, and now he tore his ACL.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel for him. Two Browns players decided for drag racing. Why is that a big story? I mean, like, I guess I haven't read the full story, so maybe I shouldn't judge anything, but it's like, you got fast cars.
It's like not that. They act like they were out with a bunch of people doing this.
Yeah, is it Fast and Furious?
It's like a COVID situation or something, like, because it's added on to what's going on with them.
That's why it's a story.
And so I was like, I read a little bit of it, and I'm like, looks like these two guys were just really early in the morning just drag racing.
Well, right, exactly.
I mean, sure, it's illegal, but I don't think I'm going to lose my mind over it.
Yeah, Rashad Higgins is one of the players, receiver. He made a joke. He goes, foot slipped, sorry. Was trying to get away from COVID, but has deleted those tweets since then because, you know, apparently, I think it's funny. Keep them out there, but whatever. Let's see, NFL playoffs this weekend. We'll talk more about that tomorrow. College football championship game will be coming up on Monday between Ohio State and Alabama. Before we get into a quick discussion about understanding challenges that coaches are facing with COVID-19 and why I believe, and I think Dusty agrees with me on that, why we need to cut them some slack, and I still think it's ridiculous that Tom Herman is fired when he's 7-3, especially during COVID. I think Gus Malzahn getting fired at 6-4 at Auburn at SEC, where he's really the only coach that can beat Nick Saban, is ridiculous, especially during COVID-19. But perhaps there are extenuating circumstances we don't know where Herman and Malzahn had, you know, defied and power above them, and they were on a short leash all along. I don't know. I think Texas is more about, hey, we got a guy we think would be better, and Sarkisian's the home run hire, so we're going to get rid of you. Malzahn, he must have upset the wrong people, because I don't know what else he was supposed to do at Auburn. He did a pretty good job. So to each their own, but, you know, you hear people talking about how, you know, certain coaches and trying to hold these teams up to the same standard they were before. I've heard people, you know, being critical of K-State men's basketball and Bruce Weber, of course, because the people I hear from about Bruce Weber were people that never were for Bruce Weber. So they'll never be for Bruce Weber. Yeah. Bruce Weber could go win a national championship, and they will not be for Bruce Weber. They'll reluctantly give him maybe some credit, but it was kind of like the Elite Eight. They reluctantly gave him credit for the Elite Eight. Well, UMBC won. And it is what it is. You play who you play. So more on that in a moment. But before we get to that, and Brian Haney, the voice of the Kansas Jayhawks, I'm going to give you an opportunity, if you want it, your reaction to what took place in our country yesterday. I've said my piece earlier today on Waterside Wake Up at 7:45. I may have a comment or two, but I don't want to go too far into this for myself personally, because I've already voiced my opinion. And really, it's not necessarily opinion. It's just what I was discussing was, how did we get to this point? That's kind of what I was discussing earlier today. So your reaction, your thoughts, if you have any, I would think you do, of what took place yesterday with the storming of our Capitol happening in the United States of America.
Quite a few things that I want to say that I probably shouldn't, but...
free country.
I don't even know where to start, right? Because
it is tough.
Listen, if people followed me on Twitter... I was saying a lot of stuff, you know, about 5 years ago.
Oh, yeah. This isn't just something happened yesterday.
Listen, when you gave us the two options that you gave us in 2016, if you could not see something crazy happening out of that, I don't know if you even understand where you live, what country you're in, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's where I start with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it starts probably before that.
I mean,
for some people, right?
Yeah.
But we had an two-term president that was leaving. So you had to have a new president.
Correct.
And those are the two options you gave us.
Yes.
And I said it right. I said it right then, like when it all came down, like I say, about 5 years ago, because that's when the nominations were officially given and basically you knew who it was going to be. There are issues in this country if these are the two that we have to pick from.
Yes.
Now, you might think that one person's done a great job. You might think that the one that got elected did fine as president. You might think he didn't. But there were pretty big signs of what could come.
Absolutely.
Fairly quickly after he was elected, right?
Absolutely.
From both sides.
Absolutely.
This wasn't... What they did yesterday, obviously, is a little bit different than what happened when Trump got elected, and then they had the Women's March and all those other things that were happening there right after he got elected, right?
Sure.
With the protests there. But it's coming from both sides. And for me, I can see hypocrisy coming from both sides. So extreme yesterday.
Even yesterday after it happened.
Because after all this happens yesterday, I'm like, man, some of these things that this side's saying today, this side was saying in July or June or July when all that was going down in the summer. And I'm like, listen, I'm not going to sit in here and condone either side of anything. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is you're hearing a lot of the same things from one side or the other. And it's just, that's where our country is right now. We buy in so much to whatever one political party's telling us.
And that's the only side we listen
to. So many people can't think for themselves. Yeah. And I am about 24 hours from changing my voter registration. I'm just going to say that. I will say that publicly. Because I don't want to be aligned with either side personally right now.
I'm independent, have been for quite some time.
And
I don't get a vote in the primaries.
My thinking has been like that for quite some time.
Right.
But
I call it the American Party.
As a personal person, it's starting to be pretty tough for me.
Yes.
To stay the side I'm on.
I hear you.
Registered.
I hear you.
Like, again, I'm registered that way, but I've really been thinking independent ever since, 5 years ago.
Right.
Because that's the way I felt about it then. That's still the way I feel about it now. But if people don't know how we got here, it's not that hard to figure it out.
No.
But it is tough to be here. There's no question about that.
I'll say a couple things, and then we'll get to Brian Smoller's comments about coaches and COVID, because I think it's important that we hear from Brian about that with the coaches. And then Brian Haney coming up in about 10 minutes. The notes I wrote down here, I think I think our elected leaders are extremely naive and out of touch. And I think that's part of why we got where we got yesterday. They have no idea that their words matter from both sides, with some of the horrible things both sides say about each other. And even though you may say you don't look up to them and maybe we don't want to look up to them, they are the leaders that we elected. And some of those leaders, not all, some of those leaders are only worried about themselves and getting reelected. And if that means going against your moral compass, if that means selling out, is what it really is. And we've seen it from both parties. So don't sit here and listen to us and say we're blaming one side or the other. We're not.
Not at all.
And that's the biggest problem, too, is one side blames the other and points the finger at the other. You know, I there's some things that Trump has done I'm okay with. There's some things that Trump's done that make me sick to my stomach. I'll just say it. And there are politicians on both sides that have done that, not just Donald Trump. So I want to make that very clear. When I see these elected officials yesterday talk about how that's shameful, it's sickening, they're shocked, they're stunned, they renounce everything now, I'm like, did you understand this wasn't born yesterday? Like, do you talk to anybody that elected you? Do you go to poor, impoverished neighborhoods to talk to people on the ground? Do you talk to middle class? Do you actually meet the rich? In some cases, that's the only people that they meet. Do you have any idea what's happening in the place that you were elected? Because now you live in D.C. and you have no idea and have a disconnect. To me, it was extremely naive and extremely out of touch that our elected officials on both sides of the aisle can't understand how we got to yesterday's point. If let me tell you something. If they don't understand how we got to that point yesterday, then they are a major part of the problem, and they are the ones that are clueless and out of touch. And I'm talking both sides. And thus, I've said it, I'm an American Party. I am part of the American people. I am the American Party. I would love to see a party called the American Party, and we have a third option. We don't need just two options, and we need to have a middle ground. We don't. It's either left or right, and I myself am independent. Do I get to vote in the primaries? No. And does that bother me? Yeah, no. Because eventually we get down to two choices, and I think it's ridiculous that we only have two choices, basically. I know sometimes we have a libertarian, so we have a third choice, but that person has no chance of winning.
Green Party. I mean, there was, what, four or five on the presidential
ballot. But they have no chances of winning.
Yeah.
No chances of winning. And the other thing I want to say is there a fallacy? Are we living like it's a fallacy? And what I mean by that is, you know, I just think back to, we're always going to remember where we were when this happened yesterday. We're always going to remember where we were and how it happened. And after 9/11, we remember exactly where we were on 9/11. And you may say, well, 9/11 yesterday is not comparable. No, I think it is from this standpoint. It's comparable because there was attack on our Capitol. There was attack on the Pentagon. There was attack on the White House or planned, all kinds of stuff. That was an attack on the Capitol. You can't, whether you want to say it's Antifa, whether you want to say it's Trump supporters, that was trespassing, breaking into the U.S. Capitol, not in the stores, which, by the way, I don't condone that either. That was something that we see from other countries. We see banana republics, as George W. Bush put out there yesterday. He goes, this is only what we see banana republics, not in this country. And what did we say the day after 9/11? What did almost everybody, and politicians said the same thing. Never thought it could happen here.
Yeah.
Was naive enough to think it won't happen here because we're the big, bad United States of America, and everything over here is better than anywhere else in the world, even though we haven't experienced anything else outside the United States. So when we start thumping our chest, and I've done it, and I'm guilty of it, and going, we're the best country in the world, or I live in the best country in the world. Do I? I've only been to Mexico. That's the only other country I've been to. There are many other countries in the world. And trust me, I believe based on what I know, I live in the best country in the world, but I don't know that for sure. Mm-hmm. Maybe Sweden's the best country in the world. Maybe Denmark is. Maybe there's a country I don't know about that is clearly better than the United States of America or be a better place to live. My wife said, what do you want for your birthday? My birthday's coming up this week, and I joked, and it was a joke. I guess I could always ask for a one-way ticket to another country. If I'm really fed up with this country, no, I'm not. I'm not fed up to where I'm going to leave this country. I love this country. I am an American. I love this country. I believe there are Republicans and Democrats that love this country. But when you always want to put yourself on one side and fit your agenda and always go off and get all your facts on social media, left or right, that's a problem. And I said it earlier today, if we could do a social experiment, and I know people would go bonkers if we did this, take away social media for 1 week, and on top of that, take off the news. No news. No news. No news, no social media for 1 week. Or only good news is allowed. Let's make a law for 1 week. Mm-hmm. We can make a law for holidays, right? For 1 week or one day. Wouldn't we be a healthier nation? Because all these elected officials that can't figure out how we got there yesterday, and then they suddenly renounce stuff when they helped inflame it. And it's easy now after the fact to jump on that side of the wagon and say, well, now that's just not right. You were part of the problem. You know, the rhetoric, words matter. That's the thing I really took out of yesterday, was that our leaders are out of touch and naive to think that something like this can't happen. And even our own citizens are naive to think that this only happens in other countries. We thought the same thing with 9/11. We'll never be attacked like all these other countries because we got the great defense mechanism. We got the greatest defense unit. We got the greatest country in the world. There's no way somebody's going to do that and have the audacity to do that and attack America. And 9/11 happened and it changed everything, didn't it?
Absolutely.
Nobody thought that people easily, and it was pretty easy, to go into the Capitol yesterday. We spend millions and billions and trillions of dollars on defense, and we couldn't even defend our own Capitol? Now, people wonder if there was something more to it, or it was too easy because people purposely wanted to let them in. You can do all your conspiracy theories. I'm not here to entertain any of those. Bottom line to me is, we sit here and we believe that we are better than everyone else. We believe we're better than everybody else. Before 9/11, after 9/11, it was a gigantic slap in the face, wake up America moment, was it not?
Yeah.
I believe yesterday was one of those moments as well. Yesterday, if our elected officials if anything good comes out of what happened yesterday, I think it's this, that it's a wake up call for our elected officials to say, you know what, there are people out there who aren't happy, and you know what, they're not afraid to come voice it and maybe even get a little bit angry about it. I always thought, Dusty, and I was dead wrong, I always thought that something like that might happen yesterday. I did. For years I've thought that. Mm-hmm. But I thought it would be because all of us would unite and say, we're tired of you taking our money and all of the taxes. That's what I thought was going to happen.
Yeah.
We would rebel against taxation. That's what I always thought would, like, I always thought that's what we're going to do. We're going to unite as a country. We're going to go to Washington and say, quit taking our money and blowing it. And instead, that wasn't what happened. But I am not shocked. I am not stunned.
No.
At what happened yesterday. And for all these elected officials to say that means that they weren't paying attention at all. Perhaps this is their wake-up call. Agree?
Yeah, they should have had that probably during the summer, but yes, I agree.
Way before that,
well,
even.
Well, before that, but sure. if it hadn't happened by then,
yes.
It should have happened by then.
I agree.
And nobody should be stunned or shocked or any weird word about what happened yesterday, not even a little bit. I just, like, I saw it, I was like, ah, here's this again, something like this.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing about it that surprised me, even in the slightest.
If you follow social media and some things are being out there, prior to yesterday, you knew there was something coming.
Yeah.
And yet we didn't have enough people to protect the Capitol despite knowing that, or should have known that. So that's a breakdown there, too. Anyway, I just want to get your comments and thoughts on it. I think, you know, I don't want to provide just one perspective, you know?
Yeah, and I have many more if you want to talk to me privately, anybody.
Sure, sure. Yeah, and you know what? That's the thing. It's okay to talk privately. It's okay not to spew all the venom on social media.
Yeah.
You can email back and forth. You can text back and forth. You can call each other. You don't have to put an argument between you and a friend all over Facebook. It can be done. You can do direct messaging.
Yeah.
Why does it have to be public to everybody?
Exactly. And that's the thing to me is, like, everybody just right away, they get on their phones and they need to say something. And I'm like, I don't do it. Just put your phone down, man. If you have something that's really venomous, if you have something that you really feel really strong about,
and you
comment on it a minute after you see something,
it's too fast.
It's not good. It's not going to end well for you.
No.
And so I'm one of those people that yesterday I had it, you know, I was interviewing coaches in the afternoon, but I had it on refresh on Twitter just to see what people were saying.
I didn't make a single comment.
And I'm like, I'm not touching this on social media. I'm not talking about it. I'm not doing anything with it because I don't want to be that person that says something that I, you know, maybe don't completely believe, but in the heat of the moment, I put something out there that I don't know if I really believe that, but it's too late.
It's actually okay to see what's happening and watch the live pictures and the video and even hear the announcers, whatever channel you want to watch. And I encourage people to flip back and forth to actually get both sides of some things, which I did last night and was very interesting. Instead of constantly being on your phone, tweeting and having a comment about every single thing you see and then miss out on everything in between that you should be watching.
Yeah.
It's okay to put your phone down and actually watch, unless you are watching the actual video on your phone. It's okay to not have a comment right away. Believe it or not, there's no law that says you must comment immediately on Facebook or Twitter or social media. And I do think social media has had a big role in getting us to this point as well.
Oh, 100%.
All right. Brian Smoller, he's the voice of K-State women's basketball team, K-State Sports Radio Network, does a great job. We were talking about COVID and coaching. And I've said for a while that I don't think anybody should be fired as a coach this year of COVID. If the players get a free pass and get free eligibility for a year, shouldn't the coaches be okay? Because this is unprecedented, just like what we saw yesterday in our world as well. It's just unusual times, obviously. Here's Brian Smoller and what he had to say. Very interesting about K-State football and K-State men's basketball. If you're a K-State fan, I encourage you to listen.
There were times, I think, in football this year that K-State played a game. Well, I can know two games for sure that K-State played a game, and I would venture to guess that 80% of other teams across the country, schools across the country, would not have played. They would have said, we are under the threshold. Well, three games. K-State won one of those games, and they lost two of them. And they lost big. So the three games were Oklahoma, Iowa State, and Texas. Those three games, K-State went in with upward near 40 players out. And you're already at a program that depth-wise you're not at the level you needed to be, right? That was the issue with Coach Snyder at the end, was that it was the program depth-wise, talent-wise, was not at the level it needed to be or anywhere where it had been before. So Chris Kleiman already inherited that roster and was already going through that process and had already identified, even in year one, had told Gene Taylor and other staff members that year two was going to be a bit of a struggle just based on the numbers, on the scholarship numbers and who they had. So anyway, that's a long way of saying, in comparison to men's basketball, that it's different, I think, when you're a team like Kansas and Bill Self, where you have relatively a culture in place and you have very good talent and established players that can kind of hold the hand of your younger ones through a difficult time like this. They know the standard of Big 12 basketball. They know the standard of the head coach. In the case of K-State men's basketball, you have so many new faces. Last night, Kansas State had eight scholarship players.
Yeah.
One of those has been here longer than 2 years. Mm. And, you know, or longer than a year and a half. Dejuan Gordon is a sophomore that played last night. He's the only one besides Mike McGurl that has any idea of what it's like to play in the Big 12 prior to this season. These guys have played 12 games in their career. I mean, Nigel Pack is averaging 11 points. He's got six double-figure games already. He's almost hit the exact same numbers as Barry Brown and Kamau Stokes in their freshman year, and those guys played 30 games.
Yeah.
And these guys were ready to, you know, there are a lot of fan talk about Bruce and the men's basketball team already this year, and I'm with you. I just can't fathom how you can hold someone to their feet to the fire in the season where you have this many. You have 18-year-old kids that have no idea, none, what it's like to play at the Big 12 level and try to get them all playing together, and you've had zero off-season to do it with.
Yeah.
Zero.
Yeah.
How can you do that? You can't just roll the ball out there and expect those guys to go play. Look at Kentucky. Having the same issue right now with this many freshmen. So, yeah, I'm with you. I think it's difficult to evaluate coaches in this season. It seems to me because the athletes are all getting the free pass for this year, right? They all get a free year of eligibility. It should be the same for the coaches as well.
That was Brian Smoller with us yesterday on the Sports Ticket. Makes some interesting points about how shorthanded K-State was with some of those football games and then what the men's basketball team is going through. And, of course, the K-State women's team is on pause due to COVID. So is the KU women's basketball team and other programs in the Big 12 on the women's side. So I think us fans need to change our standards perhaps in some ways because of all the things with the quarantines, the contact tracing, the positive tests, and dealing with COVID-19. The coaches, I know many of them get paid very, very well. But to expect them to have the same type of success as usual, perhaps, is an unfair standard this year. Just throwing it out there.